Okay. So, like Darren mentioned, congratulations and thank you for staying. You survived the whole Windows Server launch. You guys are just staying for the lucky draw, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. So, welcome again to our session, the most important session of the day, the 4:15 session. And we are going to be talking to you guys about managing SQL Server on-prem or in the cloud with System Center and OMS. The reason I'm wearing the horns is because I made a bet with somebody, and he bet that for 20 ringgit that I won't dare to wear the horns during my presentation. Well, he was wrong. I love being horned. Never mind. Okay, so the agenda that we're pretty much going to go through with you, well, I'm going to start first in this session, and I'm going to walk you through some of the new stuff that is available when it comes to System Center 2016. And then I'm going to take you through a walkthrough of how System Center 2016 manages or monitors SQL Server from an on-premise perspective. Then I'm going to hand you over to this guy here.
So I'll go through what we saw this morning in the keynote, but I'll actually show you how I set it up in the subscription itself and what the configuration was this morning and how you can go and set it up because it's actually fairly easy. So both of us have a lot of demos. I'll basically just walk you through it end to end.
Yeah, pretty much have like three slides.
That's it.
Right, among the two of us, right? So, well, if we have time, we'll be happy to answer some questions. But I guess first and foremost, let's kind of introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? The horny guy. My name is Raymond. Right? I'm the regional managing director of Infront Consulting. And we kind of specialize in System Center. We specialize in hybrid clouds. We specialize in setting up consulting, deployment, and that's kind of my day job. Other than that, I was kind of one of the first awarded Microsoft Most Valuable Professionals in Malaysia, and I've been an MVP for 10 years. 10 long years. Right? And I've also been one of the first and one of the only Malaysian representatives to speak at the Microsoft TechEd in Australia, New Zealand, the US, Europe, and so on. So those are kind of what I do for a living.
And we've known each other as well, hey?
Yeah, we've known each other for almost, what, 10 years?
10 years.
Maybe?
10 years.
Yeah.
So I have my own consultancy. I like using this thing. I got my own consultancy, Droma Digital, based here. Servicing all of APAC. I was with Microsoft for about 15 years and specialized in Azure and SQL Server. 10 of those years were here in Microsoft Malaysia, and 5 of those were in Australia. And I started my work in Malaysia with a small little website called The Star Online, which I used to run on NT4.
Oh.
NT4.
Oh.
And SQL Server 7. Back then, one of Malaysia's most popular websites, so it was possible to do so. So there
you know,
we go.
You know when they were rolling the video of the 20 years?
20 years.
And it started with NT4. And I was going like, oh my gosh, yes, I
NT4,
know that.
come on.
So it's been 20 years.
20 years.
Man. Oh my gosh. We kind of revealed our ages, so.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing that me and Darren have known each other for 10 years, and we've been in this speaking circuit for so long, and this is kind of the first time we've ever spoken. Anniversary, right?
Anniversary.
So 20 years and 10-year anniversary. Okay, let's get right down to business. So, how many of you guys here are database administrators? Are you guys in the right session?
Lucky draw. It's a lucky
right?
draw. It's all about lucky draw.
How many of you guys are part-time database administrators? There you go.
Yeah.
Because you are the guys that basically are administrators of everything, right? And database just happens to be one part of the things that you manage. Okay, excellent. Now, that is why tools in terms of monitoring is very, very useful and very, very important, right? How many things can you administer and monitor and manage in a day, right? Can you monitor 10 things, 20 things? Well, it really depends on the capacity. So when we talk about tools like System Center has a suite of tools. By the way, how many of you guys know System Center? There you go. Using it? Actually using it? How many? One. Two, okay.
A few.
Right. All right. So System Center, for those of you who do not know it, has a slew of tools that basically does management of Windows, non-Windows, applications from a perspective of patch management, inventory, virtual machine management, backup and recovery, service management, IT management, anything to do with managing the infrastructure, System Center has a function or a functionality to do that. All right? Now, when we talk about SQL Server monitoring or management, the particular tool within the System Center suite is called System Center Operations Manager. All right? How many of you use SCOM? Great. All right? So if you understand SCOM, SCOM started with MUM 2000 and it's gone through about six different versions till today. 2016 now has these enhancements that will basically improve the experience for you. Now, from a System Center perspective, I covered a little bit in the keynote this morning where we looked at end-to-end monitoring. Not only being able to monitor one single component, but how that component relates and is dependent on every other component in the system, right? It's not useful just to monitor one system, and when it's down, not knowing how it affects every other system in the infrastructure, right? So one of the major advancements, if you have used System Center Operations Manager, is the web console. The web console in the past was very heavily dependent on Silverlight. So they did a very good decision, and they took Silverlight away. So SCOM web console is now purely HTML5. That means it's very light, and you're able to do a lot more of the automation that comes together with the ability to do that. Maintenance mode is improved, and one of the major improvements is network monitoring. So in the past, when we used SCOM to monitor network devices, we used to need to look at a list of supported network devices. Today in SCOM 2016, you are allowed to, or you can have the capability to monitor any network device. As long as you have the MIPS, you can import the MIPS into SCOM, and all the SNMP monitoring will just flow in automatically, right? So that's important, especially when you're doing point number one, the end-to-end monitoring bit. Support for Nano Server in terms of monitoring creation is supported in System Center, and also heavy extended Linux monitoring as well. Now, I wanted to go straight, as we promised you, that it's going to be a very demo-centric session. Okay. So for those of you who have not seen SCOM, this is the System Center Operations Manager console. So how SCOM basically works is there's an agent which is being installed on the server that you're monitoring, right? The server picks up the data that needs to be monitored, sends it back, dumps it on in the SCOM database, and keeps it there. Then the console or the web console is used to retrieve the data out from the database and displays it in a format of your choice. Now let's drill into specifically SQL. Since we are talking about SQL in this session, it'll be useful. Right? So what do you look out for as a database administrator when you're monitoring SQL Server? Now, for those of you who are database administrators, can you tell me what is the most common challenge or the common thing that you look for when you're monitoring SQL? Anyone? Nobody? I think we can lose the horns. Nobody? Because there's no price, right?
Got right.
Yeah? Would you like me to offer a price? Yeah? Why don't, huh?
Look, this is wonderful. Look, this is so cuddly. You've never seen anything so cuddly in all your life.
Yeah.
This little in front
holding. Except you, yeah?
Except this little cuddly thing here. Look at this. This is the prize on offer. For this wonderful prize.
Yeah. So can someone tell me what is the biggest challenge that SQL or databases normally face? Anyone? Put a hand. I think they need one more incentive. Let's give them another prize.
Okay. Double or nothing.
Yeah. Let's give them a water bottle as well.
Look at that.
Two prizes. Still don't want answer. Going once, going twice, we'll take the prize away. Anyone? Come on. Yes. Resources constraint. Any, what particular type of resources? Okay. The answer is wrong, but we'll give you the prize anyway.
That's right. Get points for trying. Everyone gets
no,
points
I'm just
trying.
Joking, right? I'm just joking.
Well done. Great.
Yeah. Thanks, Darren. Now, the biggest, one of the biggest one, as the gentleman just said, correct, is resource constraint. But the biggest problem that databases always face is what? Memory pressure. Databases is always running out of memory, right? It's always consuming memory. And one of the biggest best practices when you are a database administrator or deploying a database is, what is it? It is always to set a maximum memory consumption by using the memory manager, right? Because if you don't, databases are made to just suck everything that they can get, right? Everything, okay? So how do you then manage memory pressure, right? So there's a few things that you have to look at, right? So since SCOM is getting all this data into the database, these are some of the console views that I created. So I created one to be able to look at alerts. What are alerts that's coming within my database environment? I have a view here that looks at the health state. Now, how is the state of my SQL servers with regards to its overall health? The fact that it shows green means that I have not been facing any alerts. If I had faced any alerts, I have closed them, I have resolved them, and it's performing at an optimal state. The inventory is taken automatically by SCOM. Now, one of the things that we will always have to know is how is the database operating system performing from an operating system perspective, right? So this is a particular view that I'm looking at my percentage, the processor utilization, my logical free space, my memory utilization, right? So if I shift this up there, right? So I can see from a disk space perspective, which is very important for SQL, that I'm always having a good percentage of logical disk free space. Okay, so these are some of the counters that I'll see. Now, let's go directly into the database itself. Okay, now, this is some of the new dashboards that's available in SCOM 2016, right? So the ability to do tile-based dashboards where I can basically see, for example, I've created one which looks at the stock, my SQL database instance. So I've put up tiles which shows the alerts, the state view, the availability, what is this buffer cache hit ratio, right? Right now it's about 100, which is good. The database engine, page life expectancy, SQL compilations. I'll share with some of these in a little while. Right? So at one glance, I can basically see some of those performance issues if it ever comes up. Now, going back to the process utilization that I shared with you earlier. Now, it is not convenient if I just look at the OS performance. I need to also look at how much of SQL is relating to the operating system performance, right? So on my right is the operating system performance. On my left is how much SQL is contributing to that processor utilization. So I can deduce that if I have a server slow scenario, I immediately go and check this dashboard to say, is SQL contributing to that server slowness, right? From a resource perspective, utilization perspective. Right? So these are one of the dashboards which is quite useful for a database administrator. The next dashboard that I wanted to show you was some of the general statistics. Now, I've shown you a view which is called the tile view. I've shown you a view which is called the performance view. I've shown you also a view which is called the state view. Now, this is what we call a number view, right? Now, a metric view basically just shows you numbers. And these are very important numbers from a memory pressure detection perspective. So here I basically look at my buffer cache hit ratio. So buffer cache hit ratio is basically the amount of memory that you're consuming from SQL. You want to make sure that this number is close to 100 or 100, right? So if it falls below even 80, you are basically facing a scenario where there is too much of queries or too much of database hit on your memory. Page life expectancy is the next value. Higher number, the better, right? Page life expectancy is how long in terms of seconds is data staying in memory, right? The longer data stay in memory, the easier it is for SQL to get the data from. If I have to release it and put it back to disk, you know the caching mechanism, right? If I take it from disk, it's always slower than I take it from memory. So the kind of the lowest threshold is roughly about 300. Anything 300 and below, you have a big problem, right? User connections is useful for you to understand at that point of time how many users are connecting to your database. And the rest are things like the batch requests. How much batch requests are you processing per second? How much compilations are you doing per second? And the target and total server memory is how much total server memory is SQL actually taking versus what is the target, right? So you want to make sure that this is either balanced or total is always lower, all right? Now, the two last things I wanted to show you is this. Now, I showed this very, very briefly in my in the keynote, but you know, in any monitoring tool, and this doesn't apply only to SCOM, right? In any monitoring tool, it is very important for the monitoring tool to be able to monitor more than just the component that you're monitoring. Because looking at all the previous dashboards, you can see that, oh, my database is performing well. Oh, buffer hit cache ratios are at 100, right? But what if something goes wrong? How do I know what is that affecting? So it's important to be able to piece everything in a nice jigsaw that shows the application has a dependency of the web server, the web service, the database, and if a database goes down, what is it contributing to? When a user calls you to complain about an application, do they tell you, I think you go and check the database lah. Something's wrong with the database. No, right? If something's wrong with the application, what does the user tell you? Slow lah. Right? Don't know what's wrong. Cannot reach. Cannot, right? Something like that, right? So to be able to pull up a dashboard like this and immediately go down to the point of troubleshooting is very, very useful. Okay? Now, more than that, you will notice that in today's technology, everybody is using this monster here. I call it a monster because I cannot live without it. Right? Can you?
No.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, these dashboards with tools and solutions that's available out there, you don't even have to open the laptop, open the console to make sure that your servers are running healthily, right? So just to show you, because I can't be going down there, right? So this is me fiddling around with my screen here, right? And the dashboards that you saw earlier is also available. I'm just gonna do it landscape so you can see it. Also available in a web mobile version, right? So basically, at any time, I can go in and look at what is my disk free space for those servers. How's my CPU utilization? How's my memory use? I can even drill in, let's say, number of user connections. I can click that. I can drill in, right? And basically, I can see some of those statistics in the last 12 hours, 24 hours, last 30 days, or so on, right? So what I've seen in the past is that it's not only important for you to have a monitoring tool, but a monitoring tool that's able for you to understand and able for you to access quickly at any time, right? So those are some of the tips when it comes to databases, a database monitoring. Now, So some of the best use cases is basically in any monitoring tool is to be able to have what we call the God's eye view, right? The ability to look at everything and anything at one single time and be able to say, that guy needs help, this guy needs help, that guy is okay, right? That is availability of System Center Operations Manager. Being able to pinpoint key troubleshooting spots and being able to have knowledge at your fingertips. Now, one of the biggest investments Microsoft has made in this version is the ability to integrate with a service called Operations Management Suite. And that is the ability to bring all the data that you saw up there, together with all the log data, pull it up into a database, and being able to diagnose, massage, and report on it. Right? And with that, I'm going to hand you over to Darian.
Good. Thanks. Thanks, Raymond. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
OMS, back to the other one for the moment. Not yet.
Slides
first. There we go. Yes. So OMS Operations Management Suite, like Raymond said, an amazing product. Everything I'm going to show you actually is going to be off the free version, which is what I said in the keynote. So you can actually try it out. It spans public and private clouds. I'm going to use this high intensity beam here. I like this. Spans private and public clouds, so on-prem, and any server where you can put an agent anywhere. So there's no restrictions about what it can manage. It supports System Center directly in your environment, Windows, Linux, VMware, which I'll show you, OpenStack, which is in preview, and even directly things like AWS storage, which was in preview a while back. Runs completely in Azure, so there's no service to provision. When you go back and hopefully play with this later, there's nothing to provision. You set up an account, the infrastructure's ready, it's working. So you don't have to manage virtual machines or updates or anything. It's management in the cloud. You can start free, I've mentioned that before. Solutions are being added all the time, which is a little bit of what you saw this morning in the keynote. There are some downers, which is important for me, and that is it doesn't currently support any of the platform as a service components. So it doesn't support SQL Azure. It's definitely in the roadmap. So it's only, since we're talking about SQL, it's only SQL in virtual machines for the moment. So we'll see probably that being added over time. Now, okay. This is actually the keynote environment this morning. So it's multi-cloud and multi-country. And it's multi-operating system. So this is what OMS is sitting over. So I have an Azure subscription with SQL Server and Windows in Singapore. I've got Linux over in East US. I've got another cloud provider here with SQL Server running in Singapore. And OMS is running in East US because it's just available first. So I did that first. And then I'm actually pushing up to Power BI, which you saw with Raymond's demo this morning. I've got that connected as well. Now, what I haven't got connected is on-prem environment, but I'll show you what it is. So if we had VMware or System Center environment or even OpenStack coming out, then we'd be able to connect that. So that's actually the environment that we're looking at when I drop across to the console. Okay, now we can swap. This one here. Very good. Excuse me. Sorry. So this is my Azure subscription that you saw this morning. And OMS, so first up, I always customize it so I can see my own dashboard in Azure, which you can. Most people don't, but I do. And OMS can actually sit inside a workspace here inside the portal itself. And you can browse OMS from inside the portal. I'm not going to do that completely here, but I'll tell you this first, which is very interesting. So if we load it up, you can actually see I'm using the free one. So the free one gives you 7 days of data retention, so you can at least try out the service. But obviously, if you wanted to record things over time, then you'd change for a different plan. But at least you can see here that everything we've got is pretty much free. Now, if you've got virtual machines in Azure, like I've got here, hang on a sec, let's just go back to this one here. Let's go back to the workspace here. If you have virtual machines and they're actually running in Azure, you can deploy the agents on these machines directly. So I have 3 virtual machines in Azure, and you can actually see the agent status. So I've got 2 that have got an error associated with them. This one's Linux, don't know what the error is here. This one's shut down, that's why it's got an error. This one here is in a workspace. If I want to redeploy an agent because there's a problem, you can just do it from the console directly, and you can disconnect the agent and you can reconnect it. So even on a Linux machine, for example, I don't need to SSH into the box and deploy the agent. If it's running in Azure, I can just mark the virtual machines here and deploy the agents on them directly, which is quite nice. Okay, I'm going to jump over to the OMS portal. So this is what you saw on the keynote this morning. So these are the solutions that I loaded across that environment. And a lot of these solutions have zero configuration. It will go out to your environment with the agents that are running on those servers and pull in what it needs to pull in for you to have a look at. So if we have a look at the solutions gallery, so these are the solutions that Microsoft provide. Now, when we first started, I think there was like one or two. Now the gallery is actually full of solutions that you can deploy, and there's more coming out all the time. So here's the categories of solutions. And you can see just by scrolling over, there's just this massive amount of them. So there's things really interesting, like containers, like Docker containers. So if you did a deployment in Azure of Docker containers, you're going to have a lot of Docker going around there. That's the nature of it. And so there's a solution specifically for monitoring performance metrics within Docker, which is kind of nice. And I mentioned directly, I'll see if I can find it over here. I'm looking at Azure networking. I can't see it. Oh, here we go, down here. Currently in preview VMware analytics for ESX. So if you have an ESX environment, for example, you can hook up this particular solution directly to it and get some of the information that even ESX is putting out and surface that in OMS. So it can be radically different environments that you can combine together in a single point of glass. So I'm just going to come to settings. Come back out to the top here, and I'll show you how to hook it up. It's very easy. It's very straightforward. So there's a settings tab here. Just wait till this loads, and you basically go down each of the individual settings. So these are the solutions that I've got loaded on my front page in my dashboard, and I can unload and load them as I need. Then what I have is the connected sources. So now you'll get to see the agents and the actual machines that I'm using here. So I've got four Windows computers connected. Now, if I've got no access to those computers, it's not managed by System Center, they're not in the Azure portal, they're in something else, then I can download the agents to them directly and use this workspace ID and primary key when the agent boots up and put it in the machine. Now, I probably wouldn't do that manually, I'd probably script it. So that's all I've got to do, is get the agents on the machine and they can be connected. It's exactly the same process for Linux. So here's the Linux agent. If it's not in Azure, then all I need to do is download the agent from here and put in the keys inside it, and then it will connect up. I can connect Azure storage directly. So I've got storage data in Azure, three storage accounts connected. There was a preview in here where you saw the AWS storage previously. Probably see that soon. And then here is System Center. Now, you don't actually connect System Center from here. It's done the other way around. System Center actually connects to OMS. But if you have the System Center environment, then you'll see that here. And you can obviously connect multiple management groups if you want to do so inside there. If we have a look at the data itself, so at the high level, you've got the servers connected. So once the servers are connected, what's the actual data that you want to monitor? Now, some of these things are by default, and some of these things I changed specifically for the SQL session. So here are the Windows events logs. Now, I chose them, so usual, application security and system, error warning and information, I chose them, I put them in, that's probably what we're normally gonna monitor. And then within that, what are the performance counters? So every 10 seconds, we're gonna take a snapshot of the performance counters, and I have added down here, if you can see that, SQL Buffer Manager, SQL Buffer Cache Hit Ratio, Page Life Expectancy, so forth. So here's the top 10 SQL performance counters that I've added inside there. So when they're available, it's obviously going to record those particular performance counters. Now, I've got the same for Linux, too. So in Linux, I've basically added basic things. So logical disk, memory, processor, system that's running there. I don't have a web server in my environment. If I have a web server in environment, then a check there, and I can collect the IIS logs as well, which is amazing when you hook it up to the security solution, because it'll analyze your web logs for any types of attacks. Very cool, super cool. You can add custom fields. I haven't added custom fields. These custom fields have been added by some of the other solution plugins. So this one's Azure Diagnostics. So when I added Azure Diagnostics as a solution, OMS added, or the solution added these particular custom fields. I didn't do that, so you can do that. You can add custom logs, I haven't. So for the Linux people in the room, these are my ability to collect the syslogs. And in this particular case, I've got these four listed down here, which is the popular ones across my Linux environment, and you can specify them as well. You can also do things like Windows file tracking. So you can have OMS watch a particular path or a particular directory for file activity as well. So that's pretty easy to configure once you've got the machines when you've got the machines done. And then that's the information that we're going to be looking at, or OMS is going to be looking across. So if I just have a look at accounts here. Still doing well. I've got so much stuff to tell you. I had to write it all down here because I'll miss it. And you can tell I'm getting excited. All these things here. Okay, if I just have a look at accounts, accounts basically covers the subscription that we have and the individual data plan. Gives some more information. If we ever see it. Maybe not. I'll just tell you again. I was just going to show you it's free. So far, everything I showed you particularly is free. So you can hook up these servers and you can use the solutions against you. It's just that you don't retain the data for a long period of time, is what I was going to show you inside here. So this is my workspace information. And I did have one more thing, which is I've connected it to a Power BI account, which is what Raymond and the team did this morning in the keynote demo. So I can actually take the log analytics from everything that I'm doing and pump it into Power BI so I can do the visualization. So that's where that little piece of secret stuff was done, inside that one in particular there. All right. Once all this is actually sitting inside OMS, we've got the dashboards here, but we can actually run our own log searches. So there's a scripting language in the log search, and it actually guides you through the scripting language. If we ever get to see the scripting language. It's a bit late in the day for the scripting language. It's quite fun. I'd recommend it on a very high-speed internet connection. But it will fill in the details for the log search, and it will try to guess what you're searching. So it's even suggesting. So it's excited with an exclamation mark. Let's start searching. Why don't you put in computer equals Contos or whatever, and it'll fill it in. But if you're completely stuck, it's got favorites, and it's got saved searches. So you can actually choose from the right-hand side here what a search looks like. So if I pick something, let's have a look here. It's got log management syslog. So if I pick something, so there's some of the SQL data that's bubbling up there. Doesn't matter. Let's just pick anything. Computers with missing security updates. So it gives me, this is actually the query that it's got there. So you can see what the whole query looks like. And you can see what the query returns, which is very interesting. If you like this particular query, then you can actually send it up to Power BI as an individual chart. That's what Raymond was doing this morning. So you've got access to all this data. It's amazing. You've got predefined queries that it gives you. But if you wanted to do something specifically, and you know what data you want, then I can put that as a subset in the query and then send that off to Power BI. So you see up here, if I liked this query, I click on the Power BI button, and eventually, Power BI opens. I can tell you what it looks like. Eventually, see, I'll tell you what it looks like, then you can tell it when it fills it in, I'll see if we got it right or not. It actually says, what's the name of the report that you want? What's the Power BI subscription that you've got? See, here we go, see, I'm not lying there. What's the schedule you want to pump it up, and what's the data set name? And then it will take this particular query and pump it up to Power BI every hour. So I've already done that with some of the Power BI scripts. Don't want feedback here. So this is my Power BI account. And if I have a look at the data sets down the bottom here, I've got some which are already being populated. So for example, I've got SQL Server statistics. And if I have a look here on the right-hand side, very simple query. But so this is coming from OMS. And this was a query that I put in to get SQL Server statistics, the very statistics that Raymond was showing you just now. And so the data set gives me count and results and these different areas, particularly like this. And then I can build just from like this morning a report that's on that. Now, just like any good cooking show, I've already built a report. You know that's coming. It's late in the day, you know. So I've already got a SQL Server general statistics report. And so all I'm doing now is I had three SQL servers in my environment, and so I just visualize that. And then what are the things that are coming back from the report? How many incidents per each SQL server I'm doing? And what's the time? You can see where I've rebooted the servers in that particular thing there. So like for a DBA, for example, that might be very interesting for them. I want to know what the activity is like in the SQL server. But you could also do similarly what happened this morning with Raymond, and I can bring a big set of data and then I can customize it on the fly. Now, if I just go back and show you in the OMS portal, if it works for me quickly, let's see if it does, into settings, right down the bottom here in Power BI, it will show me what queries I'm using that I'm sending up to Power BI every hour or so. So these are the ones that are automatically refreshed every 60 minutes. So I'm effectively getting a snapshot of my data in these different queries every 60 minutes. Now, I could show you the same report that Raymond showed on his phone, right? I got the Power BI app on the phone, and I can see each of these 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of Power BI reports on the phone as well. Incidentally, the Power BI subscription I'm using here is the free one too. So I'm using the OMS free one, which you could go back and try out if you like it, and I'm using the Power BI, the free version, to do these visualizations as well. So it's definitely something that you can go back and try.
And I think when you were showing the solutions gallery keeps on adding stuff on it, and it keeps on adding even on the free plan.
Yes.
Right? So it keeps on adding solution galleries on the fly. You'll notice that in the solution gallery that Darren showed, there were some on preview, right? So those, even if it's a preview, it keeps coming into the solution gallery and it doesn't add any costs, even on the free plan, obviously, free.
Yeah, amazing. And look, I was talking to some of you outside, and the solution gallery is actually based on Microsoft services engagements, that you can get Microsoft services to come out and analyze your SQL server. They're called risk assessment programs. And then multiple tens of thousands of US dollars to get a Microsoft services person to come out and look at the environment. And actually these solution galleries, of which probably today there were already two new ones, to your point, provide a similar type of information. So very cool. Even maybe if you're not looking at using this seriously, just for the solution galleries to hook up to your servers to do this type of reporting, to have mobile Power BI reports, it's kind of worth playing with it. Sonia was excited this morning when she mentioned it in the keynote, and rightly so. I think this is a great solution from Microsoft that can do multi-cloud on-prem management and leverage your existing system center environment. So can we swap back to the other one? Very good. So I might sum up, and then I'll leave it to Raymond to sum up. So Operations Management Suite, it's powerful, it's out of the box, I love it, you can tell it, it's great, it's free, it takes 10 minutes to set it up, it's great in combination with SCOM, that's my email address, you should try it out, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, and if you notice what Darren showed, and the type of integration points that OMS basically comes out of the box, what I showed in System Center is only just one of them. So can you imagine if you already have existing System Center Operations Manager or any System Center, right? Even SCCM, for example, in the environment, you can just start a free account on OMS, connect it, and it's just basically a simple two clicks, put in the OMS subscription ID, and you basically start feeding data up to the OMS, right? And once your data is up in OMS, you can do exactly what Darren showed you guys earlier, right? Obviously, if you need any help or any advice, that's my email there as well.
Yeah, very good. So let's see if there's anyone's got any questions. Do they get any prizes for questions?
Sure.
Yeah, so you even get prizes for questions.
Anyone has any questions? We still have about 4 minutes for questions. Okay, the question here is, do I need to publish System Center to anywhere to be able to use OMS? Are you talking specifically with SCOM? Yeah, so you want me to take that? Or?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so there is already a connector that is available within System Center, right? So all you got to do is just sign up with OMS, right? There is a subscription ID. When you go into System Center to configure it, all you got to do is just match that, put it in, and for data to start flowing up to OMS. So it's very easy. So setting that up is easy. Setting up the integration with System Center is also easy.
I should just note, though, that the free subscription's 500 meg of data. That's the limit. So like if you hooked it up to some giga System Center environment into OMS, you'd blow the free limit kind of straight away. Do you know what I mean? But if it's not an enormous environment, that's still quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's enough to experiment with. One of the outside, some of the guys were asking me, you know, I've got this giga enterprise environment. How's the free OMS version going to go?
Yeah,
it's going to go, but it's gonna blow the limits on some of the things. But it's quite easy to set up.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a small setup, find in the demo environment that we have. What? How many servers do we have, Vincent? Probably about what? 40. About 40 servers. Unfortunately, 500 megabyte isn't really enough for 40 servers, right? But we basically selected everything, every performance counter, because we were building that kind of environment. So what happens when you hit that limit, Darren?
Yeah, it drops data. It doesn't retain the particular data. So you can still use it, but you're not going to get an accurate view of the data, which is in there. And it'll tell you to upgrade. It'll say, please buy the next version that's kind of up there. But I don't know if you guys noticed, but in the first screen, it shows you when you're near the 500 meg. So you can actually see, you know, how much you're tracking. So like I've probably done 20 plus server environments and they're okay. That's not a lot of data. But yeah, as soon as you hook it up to a massive data center, probably the free one doesn't quite cut it. But anyway, you can still play with it. Yeah, very good. Great question. So the question was, does it drop data or does it keep recording the data endlessly? That's the plan that you're on. So in the free version, it retains the data up to 7 days. That's it. And then it just drops it off and keeps the data going. So it's, yeah, going on a loop. So like the last 7 days, always like a rotating window on the last 7 days. If that's... Yeah, very good. I'm going to repeat that comment. That's a great comment. Yeah. You ready? I hope no Microsoft people in the room hear this one.
Hold on.
So if you don't need actually retention of more than 7 days and your data's less than 500 megabytes, then the free one's going to do, because the free one gives you all the solution capabilities, which was my point in the keynote this morning. Answer yes, absolutely. Now, if you really want to do log analytics like you do with SCOM, with Operations Manager, then you need the retention and the analysis and the trending over time. And there's the second tier that does that. But to your point, exactly right. If you want to get the value of the solutions and run it in your environment, yes, you can stick with the free one.
And I think, in a way, I guess Microsoft kind of realized that. So if you look at the pricing model with OMS today, if you buy, or rather, if you start paying for OMS, you also own the rights for System Center as well. Right, so they kind of bundle everything up into OMS. So if you own System Center, there's actually kind of like a special deal that you can buy OMS at a cheaper price. But if you own OMS, you also get to own System Center as well. So kind of a two plus one deal.
Okay, very good. So the clock's reached zero. So we've reached the end of the day. So thank you very much for your attention. Thank you wonderfully for attending the last session of the day. It's a great honor. Our emails are there. Thank you again very much.
Yeah, thanks for staying, everybody.